recording here in a second. Okay. So everyone, welcome to Soul Luminous Radio and our monthly live call-in show with Joni Isinger. She is a healer, a channel, and a medium, and she has a business called Joni's White Light Healing, and she's also my soul sister. And and just an FYI for everyone, Joni and I, you know, we feel very close to each other, but we have never met in person. So I think that is a testament to, you know, you don't have to have all your senses engaged, but you do have to have your awareness and your desire and kind of your openness and willingness there, because we can transcend geography and we can transcend time and make things happen. And that's exactly what Joni does for us. She is the bridge from the seen to the unseen, to let us know how things in the world and the universe that we can't see because we're not vibrationally equal yet, how they may be affecting us, past lives, people that we've loved that have passed, and other things. But Joni, I'm going to let you speak to what you do to enlighten people about exactly how this works and how you can help them.
Sure. Well, first I want to thank you again, Michelle, for having me on your show.
Oh, yes.
Regarding what I do and why I do it, I'm compelled to talk about who we are as souls in what I call Earth School. I never believed in any of this until around 2003, 2004, 2005, and it was quite life-shattering in a wonderful way when the paradigm that I had set up for me, which was very conventional and scientific and research-oriented, got blown up. I became gifted with abilities, and as a result of this, I now offer healings and readings for people who are curious, people who are on the path, and people who also are healers and channels as well. So I come in with my human experience, my life story, who I am. My training as a psychiatric social worker, I don't do this anymore professionally, but I did it for 10 years, so I have that in my bag of tricks. And the knowledge that I've reaped from quite a number of years of reading and a lot of reading, and then looking at YouTubes as well, but a lot of reading. And with the reading, I think it triggered the gifting. And the way I work is that people either come to my home if they're local to central New Jersey, or they connect with me via phone or Skype, and they learn. How do they learn? People ask me questions about what I think of things, and they also ask me more specific questions about their lives. And here on this show, I field questions, and I also offer general readings and healings. What type of questions do people ask? It could be about anything. Usually it's about career, finance, family, health. And regarding health and any of this, I say, I am not a doctor. Please see a health professional. This is for entertainment purposes only. So that is a disclaimer here. So I just need to say that. And then regarding general, what is a general reading or healing? People say, just go in. What does the other side have to say to me? Or please do a general healing, work on me. Who do I work with? I work with ascended masters. These are souls who have walked the earth and have come to a state of enlightenment and have returned home. And they assist us here. I work with archangels. I work with departed ones and guides. I work with angels and consciousnesses. A consciousness could be a like-minded group of souls that come together and they speak as one. So I could be speaking and offering a channel, but in fact I could have 100 souls that are offering all of their wisdom together, like a group mind think. I also work with star beings. No, we are not alone here. Earth is not the only inhabited planet in the universe. So that's who I am. I don't push I don't say these are musts. Everything is a suggestion. If what you hear is not to your liking, shelve it or trash it, that's fine. Everyone is to come up with what is their own truth. I might have my truth, you have yours, and I believe there is the truth. And our job is to have fun here. We're to play for soul growth opportunity. So that's my spiel, Michelle.
Thank you, Joni. I'm going to start the whole goal on the season of Soul Luminous Radio. And by the way, Barbara DeAngeli, the New York Times bestselling author of Soul Shifts, contacted me and wants to be on the show. So that's really cool.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a big bonus for you, Joni, and for Soul Luminous Radio and all of our listeners in the Soul Universe, because that is one powerful woman who helps on the same plane. She's not a psychic or a medium, but she, you know, helps to boost us to live to our soul's calling. And Joni kind of helps us take care of the obstacles and the challenges. And Dr. Barbara DeAngelis is, she guides us, you know, kind of after we have some enlightenment and some illumination, some information from people like Joni. So I really encourage you to visit Joni's website, Joni's White Light Healing, and check out her services and what she has, and join us every single month and tell your friends, because this is a valuable, valuable service that she's providing out of the goodness and the fullness of her heart to serve everyone out there. So having said that, the goal this season and so Luminous Radio is called A Season to Thrive. And my goal is not for all my clients, okay, for my clients, the people that I help, and for all of you out there listening, my goal is for you not to just survive. Survival means just paying the bills or being in a relationship, and, you know, being all right, but there's no excitement, you know, there's no passion. That's surviving, you know, having enough food on the table, but not really enjoying it. You know, being in a house or an apartment or a place that you live and, you know, maybe it's not that clean because you're not that excited about it or you really feel demotivated. You're still surviving. That's good enough, right? No, it's not good enough. What you want to do is you want to thrive. Okay, so you want to dig deep, find out where your passion is. If you don't know where your passion is, start to ask some questions. Start to ask Joni tonight about why you might feel stuck or lost or alone or afraid or pissed off even. You know, start to ask those questions. Ask them of yourself, journal it, and ask them of Joni tonight, because she is here for you. We do have a power. We have the power to change, to influence our biology, okay, our whole energy. We can create good health. We can create happiness here on Earth in our human bodies. But sometimes we have to reach beyond, okay, and get a little bit more information. So I'm going to check the webcast and the Q&A real quick. Okay. All right. So, Joni, I have a person who is near and dear to my heart.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She is, her heart is so full. She's like, I am so close to her. And she called me the other night and she said, oh my God, Michelle, I just have to vent. And I'm like, okay. And she said, you know, my son won't talk to me. He says, you know, she wants to see her granddaughter, but her son and his wife doesn't like her at all. And there's some kind of a problem there. And her son just can't seem to stand up to his new wife. And so this woman, we'll call it Tara, is just devastated. I mean, devastated about it. And in addition to this, her mother-in-law comes in and blames her for everything. And her mother-in-law has a problem with alcohol and drugs. And she's about 70 years old, and she's essentially blaming Kara for everything wrong in her life. Then her other son is lying to her, who's also has a problem with drugs and alcohol. And Kara has tried to help all of these people, and she's at her wit's end, and she is scared to death because she knows that she has to draw the line here, and she has to a certain extent. With her mother-in-law, she did. But her two sons, she's just wondering why this is all happening when she's trying so hard. And my God, her heart is just so pure, and this woman is just amazing. So there, Joni, I'm giving you that, and I know you can feel it because
I'm going to go in.
Okay.
Now, what's the name of the son?
Are you hearing this? You're breaking up a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me close a window here. Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't hear myself now. Thank you.
Yeah.
What is the name of the first son?
Patrick.
Okay. Let's see here. This is not my Patrick. Patrick has the wife, and the wife doesn't like her, and she cannot see her grandchild. Okay. I'm going in. I have to see whether this is what I'm getting is from this lifetime or another. Bear with me. It's not this lifetime. There's another lifetime. And your friend belittled him. A lot of put downs. You're short. You're not good enough. You're small. You can't. A lot of belittlement. And this is karma. She blames herself. She felt upon her passing, when she went to her passing in that other lifetime, she blamed herself. She did feel she was overly critical. There's a lot of dark energy there, and I'm going to pull some of that out now. So I'm able to do this. This is for those listening and you, Michelle. It's using the power of intention, if we can quote marvelous Wayne Dyer for that wonderful book. I'm pulling out a lot of negative energy that's there that she has deep inside of her. I'm not sure if she's aware of this. Going in and corrupted her, pushed her to say things that did not belong. They were not meant to be said. She was not herself in that other lifetime. She was motivated by negative energies that were hanging around her. Are you taking notes, I hope? Please write this down for your friend. She should take a sea salt bath. So several tablespoons of sea salt in a nice warm bath. Make sure the salt is very, very dissolved. She should sit in it for about 15 minutes. It will clear energy, almost like a scouring of the energy, and she needs to put out the intention, she is healed. Not I will be healed, I am going to be healed, but I am healed. Going in, this is a deep one, across all time and space, pulling out all negative energies that reside around, within, suggested. Talking to her higher self for her to forgive herself. There are a lot of sadnesses there. So this is the etiology of how the karma was created. She was motivated by negative energies. She said things to belittle her son through the years. And then she went to her passing, blaming herself that she was overly critical and that she was not aware of what she was doing because there were other energies that were kind of taking over. And this is possible. It's called psychic attack. All the negative energies have been removed across all time and space, where she is incarnated everywhere throughout creation, including this one. That's why in this lifetime she needs to take a sea salt bath. She comes back with him again as a do-over because she had unforgiveness. That's karma. She needed to come back to balance out the energy. He's a challenging soul. Now I've fast-forwarded to this lifetime. Let's be practical now. Very challenging soul. He has misgivings. I think he feels sorry. He is not able to stand up to his wife. He caves in. His solar plexus, which is the energy center that symbolizes one's power and strength, is underdeveloped. He needs therapy. I'm still getting more. I do not feel that she has much control over the situation. It feels very embedded, very, 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 very deep. I see her mourning, and I see her experiencing loss. She did choose in a pre-birth planning session before coming into this lifetime to set it up where it would be a high challenge. She wasn't sure whether it would work out, and it doesn't seem to have. Miracles do, in fact, always happen, and timelines can shift. But for today, it doesn't look very hopeful. I'm going to keep going in. Her soul growth opportunity was to remain steadfast and true to herself and to remain strong where her views do not shift. So if she finds that this scenario is like shenanigans, she is to remain very clear-eyed, clear-knowing, clear-heart regarding everything that she is experiencing. No denial, no minimization, no intellectualization, no repression, none of the defense mechanisms here. She must face this. It is part of her learning to clear all karma, to clear all that was not balanced in the other lifetime. He is a very suffered soul, suffering. She is to bless him and hold him in light, pray. She can talk to his higher self, that is his spirit, and say, I love you, I wish you well, I miss you, I wish things were better, I would love to talk to my grandchild, please consider. And then she needs to let it go. She can talk to angels and ask for assistance, and that is it. That seems to be all she's able to do. You know, the serenity prayer would also help her. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. She needs to assess the situation and see what is in fact in her control and what she needs to let go and let God. Mm-hmm. So that is quite a sad reading. Yes, everything's divinely ordered, so everything is as it should. Despite her emotional pain that she's experiencing in this lifetime, she has created a movie for herself, as all incarnations are like movies, and that when she returns home, she will very much understand. She will have such clarity. There will be a lift. She will not be in that suffering state that she's in now, and she'll be more light about it and clear. And when he ultimately returns, they'll have discussions about it, as if they're reviewing a movie and analyzing what went down. So that's one son. What is the name of the other son?
Eric.
Okay, and he's the son who's partaking in drugs, or she thinks, or it's
no, he definitely is. He's been involved in drugs and alcohol, and he almost, they had to resuscitate him once from an overdose. And he's a smart, smart guy, but he just has this part of him that he keeps on going back.
He has I see him having lost faith several times in different lifetimes. This is the connection with spirit. And he comes into this lifetime, there's just a thread of hope. He tries to make it work. He shows up in this lifetime, some of the baggage that he has with him, it's self-pity. Very, very difficult for him to look at himself, to take responsibility and own many different situations that he's created himself in different incarnations. So this is baggage that he comes into this lifetime with. Mother Mary works with him. His job is to read he needs to fill himself up with literature. I'm looking at the big book, the Alcoholics Anonymous big book. He needs to step foot in a meeting if there's someone that could bring him to a meeting. He really needs to start checking out some of the literature, some of the handouts that are there. He requires, they use the term require, he requires a spiritual awakening to know that there's a power greater than himself that's taking care of all of this and himself. Your friend is a very courageous soul because this son is there's hollowness to this soul. The emptiness is vast. It's you know, like if you take a walnut and you take the walnut meat out and there's a little space, that hollow where the nut meat was, Well, make it the size of the world, and that's this gigantic hollow. If you scrape out the inside of the earth, there have been many disappointments. People have hurt him, and he's hurt others in different lifetimes, and he doesn't want to see, know, or feel any of it. So he comes in numbing himself with alcohol and drugs, not wanting to go anywhere with this. I want to see whether the resuscitation was an exit opportunity. It feels that it was. I want to see whether it was pre-birth plan. No. So part of this almost dying was his wish to leave. It wasn't pre-birth planned, but his higher self did create some type of a scenario for him to leave. He chose to stay. There was an angel that remained with him, very calm, and there was a discussion regarding what to do. And he said, okay, I'll stay. He was not to leave. That was the bottom line.
He did, Joni, have that life review. You know, he saw his life.
Mm-hmm. 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 That NDE, near-death experience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She is to remain calm. She is to continue on with her life. She is to trust that everything that she experiences before her is part of a story and that she hasn't been forsaken and that despite it looking and appearing, quote-unquote, wrong and broken, that in fact there is divine order to it. There is meaning behind many, many of the situations here. There's an answer for everything. Each soul has a story. There are movies that are, each story is like a movie that was developed prior to incarnation. Not every single aspect of the soul's life is scripted, but there are pieces that are scripted and the rest is free will choice. Post-incarnation. So she needs to know that this is it's set up, and she's like the matriarch. She comes and I see her wisdom, and I see she has a flair. She feels very artsy and free to me. Does she have that levity about her?
She is, you're right about the matriarch, and she is extremely creative with her home and in business.
She has a flair.
Very, very much so. She has an extreme ability to bring things together, to create something out of nothing.
So I feel there's a levity and a whimsy and a flair. And despite her heart feeling so tight and sad, her essence is one of just a grand entrance and beauty and peace, and that she chose these two sons to assist. So she is being of service despite her feeling that she is impotent or helpless, you know, regarding maybe assisting with outcome. She is doing what she can do just by her being the love that she is.
Mm-hmm.
Just continue to being being love and shining love on both of their souls. And this second son, he listens to her, and on some level he gets it, but he doesn't want to face it. So he can intellectually understand, he can perceive, but when it comes to ownership, he doesn't want to. So she can continue saying what she observes, And then she needs to let it go. So that's what I get regarding your friend and her two sons, and I'm wishing her peace in her mind and heart for a full healing. Very sad. She's very strong. I see her strength. They each are, despite there being blood, they each have their own stories, and that in other lifetimes they have not been her sons. They've been all different things. They've played all different parts. In this lifetime, she is the mom, they are the sons, and they come in with their respective stories to work it out. So when they return home, they can process it, and the other side will come in and say, so, with life review, how was it? What'd you learn?
I'm curious about, you said the son Eric, doesn't want to look at things. He came into this world, this life, with just a thread of hope. How does that work? I mean, why would a soul want to reincarnate with just a thread of hope? And why be here? And is it to serve like Tara? Is it to serve her lesson? Or how does that roll?
Good question. There are a few parts to this. First of all, the thread of hope that he has is a result of the many lifetimes of situations that occurred where it was difficult for him to balance it out, where he would have more hope. So things, whether karma or things moving in directions that weren't as positive, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The final product here is very little hope, because in different lifetimes things went down that were not, quote unquote, successful. They didn't feel good. They didn't work out for his highest good. So when you put that in the cumulative effect is now the thread of hope that he brings into this lifetime. I don't see that he chose to have a thread of hope to see what that would feel like. There are souls that will come in and have a story, and let's see what it's like to be hopeless. And then that's a new experience for them that's not related to other lifetimes. And then they return home. Ah, interesting, when you come in and you're a hopeless soul, no matter what good experiences you have, you're still going to perceive it as hopeless. No matter how great your life is, you're going to still – that's different. This is from what I went in regarding his experience, is this is a cumulative effect. Now, why would he then incarnate? Why even bother if you have a thread? Well, Earth, I say, is a kick-ass planet. Not every soul is going to incarnate here. There are other places where it's easier. So if you come in with a thread of hope, you need to have like the rubber stamp, the okay. You're going to be with guides and other members of your soul group and masters to have a discussion about whether you will in fact incarnate and what it would be like. So you're not just thrown down here to the wolves. If he has karma, then there is a redo, and that one must return home. One must return to Earth in order to create another story to balance out the karma, to ultimately learn and forgive self and or other. And regarding what can he offer her, I'm going to go in regarding that, because it isn't just one-sided. She isn't just there to be of service for him. We all are there for each other for soul growth opportunities. So good question. Let me go in and see how his story could benefit her with soul growth. It seems that she has a certain framework where there's like a narrow sense, a narrow vantage point, and that there's something about his take on things that shifts her. So if she's stuck or unyielding or intractable or one or like single-minded or one way only, this soul comes in to shake it up good for her, and she needs to relax a little bit Makes me think of a cartoon duck that's been in the water, and then they waddle out of the water and they shake their fanny, and then all of the water comes off of the back feathers. She needs a bit of that, and that's what this was. Her soul needed to shake it, her booty, shake it off, and wiggle and get out of that stuckness so she could see another way. Doesn't mean it's a better way. It's just another way. There was something about a narrow viewpoint, and his way is, whether it's the rebel or the unyielding one or the stubborn one, whatever it was, she needed to be shaken up to loosen up a bit.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that will clarify for her a bit?
I do. I took a lot of notes, Joni. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I know that this will help her.
She's a very strong woman.
Yes, she is.
Her love is part of this. They knew that she would be there through thick or thin, despite what would go down. She remains very strong, and she must be true to herself.
I think that right there just gave me goosebumps. You hit it on the head. You know, she is there through thick or thin for everybody, and she does need to be true to herself.
She could also go to an Al-Anon meeting.
Yeah.
And that might help her also regarding any issues, if there are any enabling issues, codependency issues, learning how to cope with a loved one who is an addict. I highly recommend it.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
What are you feeling, Joni, is for all those people who are listening and who listen in on our shows on the website? What do you think is kind of the pervasive energy? Maybe you can share different themes of readings without revealing anyone's identity, but what is happening right now that you feel where there's a commonality that we really need to pay attention to?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is people want answers more so than before. They are hungry. Many, many people are having spiritual awakenings. Many people are considering that there's more than what they see before them. So they reach out to me and they sit there, or it's by phone, and they are avidly taking notes or recording. They're asking incredible questions. There's a greater sense of belief in the other side, that there are souls that we can't see that are assisting us. And people are asking questions about everything. And whether it's about their own awakening, like my dreams, or I feel like I'm traveling at night, or my hands are burning, maybe I'm a healer, or I can predict, you know, a friend's being pregnant, and the list goes on. So whether it's about their awakening or about something in their life, whether it be a job or a love, there's something, it just feels very palatable, like the people aren't just drifting and floating and wondering about it. There's more of a deeper knowing that there's more to this than what meets the eye. And then when people learn things, when they find out more information, there's a sense of peace that comes over them. There's clarification and validation. But that's always the case, but now it feels deeper. People are very hungry, and they're dissatisfied with not knowing. They want to know what the heck is going on with this, what the heck is going on with that. And I love it, because it's our birthright. If if we all go in, if we all thin that veil and we do it through meditation, learning how to channel, whatever it is, if we go in, we all have that ability. We all can access that information with that belief.
Mm-hmm. My good friend, Sister Jenna,
I don't know if that answers your question.
It does. My good friend, Sister Jenna of the Brahma Kumari, who is the director of she hosts America Meditating Radio in the Meditation Museum in Washington, D.C. There's two of them. And she travels the world and she meets with all these leaders. And she is doing this movement called Meditate the Vote. And she's talking specifically, Joni, about what you just said, about looking within and acting from there. And I think that there's a piece that we miss sometimes, and that is, you need to look within. You have to meditate. You have to go for a walk in the woods or at the ocean or by the river. You have to just kind of clear your head trash and observe and breathe and ask for help and or ask for clarity and get in touch with what it is that makes you happy or unhappy. And you know, when you go within, that's one action, right? With the intention of, I want more clarity. But when you get the clarity, and this is where people stumble or they cease, they don't act. They get the clarity, but then they don't do much with it.
Well, that has to do with avoiding pain, because if one takes responsibility and does the work, they're always going to have some experience of discomfort. And humans don't like going there, so many people might go towards the answer and then get it. But if there isn't a shift, it's usually because there's a fear of what will happen if I, in fact, go to that place. And they know, humans know inherently, that they're going to have to face something that doesn't feel so good.
Right. Except
for
that,
we come into our lifetimes knowing that we will have to face some type of pain in order to grow.
That is it.
But the veil is put before us. Veil of unknowing or the veil of forgetfulness. We're catched over the head and we don't remember, so we come down. All we want to do is take a Motrin, Tylenol, or Advil, or a drink.
But the thing is that, you know, if you want to grow everyone's soul universe, you have to take action, because if you don't, you won't.
Right.
So the marinade within which, you know, the emotional marinade within which you act will dictate the degree of, you know, manifesting what you want, or the outcome, you know, the degree of, I don't know, how it appears as what you want. So I guess my call out there is, if you want to thrive rather than survive, you know, you can be aware of things and survive, but to act when you're afraid, to act in that space of not knowing, but being willing. That's called faith. You know, that's when things start to change for you and you grow. And I see so many of my clients, you know, people come to me wanting to lose weight and to get healthy and, you know, to, you know, be happier with their bodies and everything. And they think it's about the food and they think it's about the exercise. That's where my specialty lies. But it isn't just about that. It's why they're not doing it. And so many people come to me and say, well, just tell me what to do. And I say, I went to NASCAR Nation this weekend. What an adventure I had. It was unbelievable. Never in my life did I ever think I would go to NASCAR, but I loved it. And I met a woman in the field in which we parked after the race, and, you know, people like kind of socialize and everything. It's really just a fun thing. And she was about my age, and she comes up and she says, hi. She's like, you look great. And I'm like, thank you. She's like, how old are you? And I told her, and she's like, well, can you just tell me? I mean, I go to boot camp and I do this and I do that and I eat right. And I said, okay, I'm going to tell you. But, you know, it's not any magical secret. All you have to do is do it.
That's right.
With consistency. Do it with consistency and don't make excuses. And I told her the answer. You eat clean. You exercise. You make yourself a priority, because in that way, whoever you want to take care of and cater to, your job, your family, your significant other, you will be able to do it better when you're first in line, not pushing them out of line, but taking care of yourself. Talked about organic food, talked about specific exercises. It's not magic. Like, it's not anything that you don't already know. But people don't do it. They don't do it. People pay me thousands of dollars to coach them through the tough spots, and a handful make it. And that handful experiences extreme success. They're not without the challenges, that's for sure. But the people who do it, and it's the small choices, Joni, don't you think? Like that awareness.
Well, I said we're socialized not to experience pain. From early on, you know, don't feel. And that message is implicit. And children don't understand why they're not supposed to feel. They just are taught, don't feel. And then you're given painkillers, you know, take a Motrin, take a Tylenol, don't feel the pain. And the pain oftentimes does subside, or the crying jag does end, and there is release. And when people do the work, there is payoff. And another thing I'd just like to share is that there are assistants along the way. There are people that are angels. There are people that are in our lives to help us, so if we make the choice to do the work, so we can shift, so we can grow, open your eyes. Your next door neighbor could just say that right thing to help you over the hump. Or some stranger in a store, you could strike up a conversation, and they're right there at the exact time that you need them. And on the other side, we're never alone. We have guardian angels for protection. We have spirit guides that we agree to have assist us from the moment we're born until we pass, unless there's a change out and we wish to shake it up and make things a little different. But usually they're with us through the incarnation, and they chat with our higher selves, and they give us information all the time. And there are many other angels and archangels and ascended masters that are there assisting us. We are not forsaken. So if you think that you're doing it alone, you're not. That would also be a pretty hairy reality if we came down here and it was a solo mission. There are incarnated angels. There are souls that are of the angelic community that incarnate in a human body and are there to be of service, and they're among us. So that is very important to know, that you're not alone. And I love saying, this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
So I concur with what you just shared.
Yeah. It's that, take that action. Be like, ask for help. I mean, these, as you said, Joni, these angels do walk amongst us. I mean, be open, be willing, be courageous, because if you don't take those steps, make those small frequent choices, that they gain momentum, they take form, okay, towards what you want, then things are going to stay the same. If you keep thinking about your past, you're creating your future from there. So you're creating your future, which will duplicate your past, if you keep on thinking about your past.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, and wrapping up here, Joni, is there anything that you have experienced lately that, like, kind of gave you a whoa or an aha, or anything that, you know, was so synchronistic, and just anything that kind of gave you goosebumps, anything like that lately for you?
Oh, yeah. well, just... To preface, I'm Joni as the channel, so I'm being as human as y'all are. So I marvel at how I am able to do this. So when information comes through me and it's validated by another individual, the Joni that's doing the channel is in awe. And I need this too, because I go through my trials and travails. I need to know, you know, I might be talking and walking the talk, but I still have a life, and I live on the same earth as everyone does. So when they come through me and there's something fabulous, a real nail, as we call it in the profession, I get very excited and I feel very comforted. So recently, I was doing a gig at a restaurant. It's we call them psychic galleries, where the restaurant, this is the Myersville Inn in Gillette, New Jersey. They book the back of the restaurant, and then I do open readings and healings for the patrons while they dine. So a woman asked me, well, who do you see around me? Because I channel departed ones. And I told her, well, I don't do it just like the Long Island medium. I could get a Siamese cat from ancient Egypt. I could get any soul that wants to come through, that wants a message to you, and they'll push their way forward. It doesn't have to be a soul from this incarnation. So I get a little bit, you know, she asks for someone specific, and I give her some. And then I learn that she has some karma that needs to be cleared up. And it was I guess she wanted a general, you know, it was very general, whatever her higher self wanted to have revealed to her, that's what this reading was for her. So then I say, you know, I see a boy, you as a boy, this is another lifetime, and you're in a church and you have a Bible. I go, do you go to church now? And she said, no, but I used to. So I go back to this other lifetime where she is somewhere else, and I said, it's in Tennessee, and I see that you grew up to become a preacher, and you had your own congregation, and you had a family, and I think this was your happiest incarnation. And she says, that doesn't surprise me. Then I say, you know, you love church architecture. You love steeples and the doors of the churches. You even love the graveyards. And she said, yes, I do. And I ask her, do you have a book on church architecture that's like a coffee table book? And she says, yes, and it's on my coffee table. And at that point, I whoop, and the woman next to her slaps her leg down and goes, no way. And everyone's just whooping.
Wow.
And I smiled. And mind you, I'm sharing this. This isn't about me. This is healing. This is why I like doing group work. This is why I like radio or restaurant, because it's miraculous, and we're all witnesses, and my Joni is a witness as well, and it's like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It's that we're not alone. They know what's on our coffee table. They're there. They're with us. They know us intimately, and they love us.
That's a great point for people to know how this works. It's not Joni seeing it. It's them, the guides and the angels, seeing it, and you get that information, right?
I'm just bringing it through. I'm just a vessel.
Right. And
this
I
isn't
think
Joni
we
who nailed it.
That.
We could say interdimensionally, Joni nailed it. Joni said it. But I'm just repeating what's coming through me. I'm doing interpretation. I learned how to do that. But this isn't about me. This heals me as well.
That's awesome.
Every time that this comes through, and so that was my latest earth-shattering, pulling the rug out from under me, fantastic experience. And what I shared with you earlier about your friend and her sons, every time something comes through, I am in awe. at how courageous we all are, that we have enough guts to put a story together with other souls that are part of our soul group that we travel with, to incarnate for soul growth opportunity. How daring and brave we are to then get touched over the head, to forget the plan, to come down in a body. We normally don't hang out in bodies. Normally at home and elsewhere, we're normally free of that physical experience. We don't do that. So there's a constraint that's put on us as well. So I believe that these experiences are holy and healing. Mm. So that's my story, my recent story from last, a week ago Thursday, 1 week ago today.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I marvel.
Well, it's also happened here on Soluminous Radio with various people that you've done readings with. And you know, I've shared that with you.
I was there to experience that. I think your mom was one of them.
Yeah.
And, but there have been others. And,
yeah, there have been. And a couple of clients and then people who have just called in who surprised me, who I happen to know. And I was able to validate the whole thing, you know, after the reading. It was freaking amazing. And I have to say that these people continue to stay in contact. Like, they keep on visiting the page and Facebook and liking and following you and me and everything else. So it's because you've made such an impact on their lives, Joni.
So glad.
Yeah. So that's really, really cool.
Well, I thank you for having the show where you have a platform where professionals, where people can come on with their respective gifts and share to assist your clients and others, you know, those who find their way to your show, where they can, as you could say, thrive.
Yeah.
Rather than survive, because surviving is just existing, and that's not why we're here. We're here to grow.
No, we're here to grow. We're here to flourish. And thriving takes a little courage. It takes consistent action, but it's not the big leap of faith you think it is. It is just smaller choices, but consistent and frequent choices within that desire to grow. Having that desire, that intention, in the forefront of your consciousness on a daily basis. You're not thrusting anyone aside. That's too often what we think. You're not. In the end, when you serve yourself, when you take responsibility for what you want, you allow other people to take responsibility for their own emotions and their own choices, because it's not up to you to rescue them or to save them from feeling bad, right? I mean, so many times we do that, and that is a great act of arrogance for us to assume that people cannot handle their own emotions. So we need to let ourselves be first in line, okay, and to take those actions and make those choices and to reach out to someone like Joni, who can offer us an extreme amount of clarity in a very short amount of time, so things begin to make sense, so those actions become a little bit easier. So, Joni, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Good conversation. Mm-hmm. And I know there's going to be a lot of listens on the replay here. That's at soul-luminous.com. And this will be posted as soon as possible, because I know that a lot of people are going to be learning from this conversation. That was fun.
I loved it. And I'll see you next month.
Okay, Joni. Thank you so much. Bye, everybody.